the winning sound of Network Sports.
A very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with our good friends at ASAP White Rum, the best shot of the day. All right, lots of cricket coming up. Yes, the test match, West Indies are playing in Antigua. Yes, indeed, it's going to be a test match that we're going to be looking forward to. There's no question about that. And the question being asked after that pretty ordinary performance in the two-day match. It was, I think, originally scheduled for a three-day match. Some of the guys did not really come to the party. And we're looking forward to see what they can do against Bangladesh. We're certainly looking forward to that test match. Of course, tomorrow, yes, it's been a pretty long tournament, really. The Super 50 Barbados up against Trinidad and Tobago. And then it's the turn of Jamaica playing against the Leewards. And then the grand final is on Saturday, which will be the second day of the first test match. So they're going to be rivaling there, I would imagine, for TV time, which is of a great concern to me. All right. We're not going to talk too much because we've got the captain of the Barbados side, Raymond Reefer, with us. I know he's taken over from someone who's left the team and has gone to play in Abu Dhabi. Of course, we're talking about Kyle Mears. And he's just got a couple of minutes, so we're not going to take up any more time and just go straight to him. Hello, Raymond. How are you? Everything is okay? Raymond? Okay, hello, are you hearing us? You're going to unmute Raymond, just help him there.
Hi, Andrew, how are you?
I'm fine. First of all, your beard is getting bigger. It's almost like Castro's beard now. Oh my golly, what's happened? that beard grew more in Trinidad with all the roti or something? A big, big beard you got there, Raymond. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to talk to you. Barbados into the semifinals. No doubt you're confident of victory against Trinidad and Tobago. Tell us.
Yeah, most definitely.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what makes you confident?
I just think that the way we've been playing, we lost two games. Even in those two games, we competed right to the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you look at the stats, the team scoring the most runs in the competition as well. Just a few things to obviously tighten up on going into the semifinal game.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you're quite happy to lead the Barbados side. Must be an honor, Raymond, to lead your country.
Yeah, it is an honor to lead a country with so much history in cricket and so many good players and top captains that we're on from this country.
Yes, indeed. Tell us, have you seen the pitch that you're going to be playing on tomorrow? Have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it today.
Mm-hmm. How it looks? The thing is, you get a little bit of spin, a little bit of pace. What's your reading of the pitch?
The wicket at Barilar generally has been good this year. It looks a pretty good wicket. So we just need to go out there and just do what we need to do.
Mm. And the toss, you think, is going to be important? Very, very important as normal?
Yeah, the toss will be an important factor, but I think that the team is obviously good enough to do whatever we have to do first and still come out on top.
But just before you go, because we know you've only got a couple minutes, of course, Dr. Ford and Philo may have a question or two for you. Philo, you want to talk to your good friend Raymond? Philo?
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Good evening to the panel. Good evening, Raymond. Before I actually get into Raymond, I just want to offer my condolences, Andrew, to Horace Brigham Stout, a former Hensel and Barbados goalkeeper.
Ooh.
He lost his mother this morning. He was my barber. I think I don't go to the barber, but I do go to the barber. Mm. My son goes there as well. And the guy called Lance, he lost his mother today. So Hensel is back in mourning after losing O'Brien.
Yes.
No, we've lost.
Yes.
It's very sad, you know, but life goes on. I want to say hello to my friend Sherlyn Hart, who had a birthday the other day. My friend Carlos here, who's struggling a little bit with a stroke, and he's getting stronger. My friend Boogie Burt, who had a death and heaven. Raymond, I just want to congratulate you, actually, for being appointed captain of the Barbados Pride. Obviously, it's going into the back end, the business end of that 50-over competition.
Mm-hmm.
Trinidad, you lost to Trinidad the last game you played against them. And you said you have a lot of confidence to beat them in the semifinal. I want to know where you went wrong in that game against Trinidad and where you're going to make the corrections now at the Brian Lara Academy. Because you said the pitches at Brian Lara Academy are playing a lot better than last year.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the plan? Obviously, counterattack the Trinidadian side. They've lost some players as well too, for the test series that is going to start soon.
Mm-hmm.
And we've lost some players to Abu Dhabi. Or are we going to counterattack that loss that really, I thought it hurt us, but you said you got the answers.
Yeah, thanks, Philo, for your best wishes. I think getting wickets without Newbar early on and really controlling that middle phase, mm-hmm, will definitely make a difference in the game. We thought about it, and you know, we got our plans and stuff, so obviously to counteract their batting lineup and their bowling lineup as well. So, you know, going into the game, you know, we played them already, and playing them again now is probably the best time for us to play them, because we know basically what they're going to do and their plans towards all of our players.
Yeah. Doc, before Raymond goes, any question for him?
Raymond, the good night to all of the panelists and to listeners, first of all. Raymond, the team has depended quite heavily on Jamel Warkin for penetration. He's taken most of the wickets. What do you think you'll need to do to get through the semifinal and final as it relates to your faster bowling and your spin?
Mm-hmm.
Jamel Warkin has been very, very good for us this season. You know, he's gone on to play test cricket now. But generally, I think we just need to be a lot straighter, obviously, in bowling at the Trinidadian batsmen. Mm-hmm. And once we do that, I think that we're definitely successful.
Yeah, so you think the other bowlers will be able to pick up the slack, not having Warkin available?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. You've had about 950s and only 100 in the series so far. What do you think about the conversion rate? And would you like to have seen more three-figure scores?
Obviously, yeah, we spoke about that. And there's no better time than to get 100 in the semi-final or final. You know, if you're a young cricketer, obviously looking to go on to play at the higher level, I think that if you do it at this stage, it'll put you in much greater stead, and it'll put the team definitely in a very good position.
Okay, well, you personally, as an all-rounder, you haven't done much bowling. You're the captain now. You'll be batting predominantly. What do you see is your role as a captain and as a guy who can play on all three sides of the ball with your bowling?
My role is just wherever I'm needed, or wherever I think that I'm needed in a situation, I just do it to the best of my ability. We've got some quality bowlers here, so definitely looking forward to someone putting up their hand tomorrow, or even if it's two or three guys putting up their hand to get us over the line tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I saw Philo. Philo, you had another question?
Yeah, Ribby, I know you had an injury. Obviously, you would have overcome that injury. We haven't heard a lot about it. Can you tell us about it? Not going back to badness, but just tell us what happened there and how you recovered so quickly.
I thought, it was just, I got struck with a ball in my, just above my eye. It was a pretty big cut. I got 6 stitches. So it was just for me to allow the cut to heal and then gradually just work my way back. Obviously, try to get match ready or to be as fit as possible, you know, for whenever I was ready to come back.
Okay, that's very good. So obviously, it's properly healed now. No problems. And the vision is good. You had the vision checked and it's good.
It's good.
Good to go.
We didn't hear anything. We saw it, but we never heard anything about it, which was quite sad. Mm-hmm. But glad you clarified for us to know that you're
good.
Fit and ready to go tomorrow.
Are we happy about that, Raymond?
Thank you.
Finally, just before you go, everybody fit? Any concerns? Any niggles?
No injuries in the camp.
Mm-hmm. What do you have to say to Barbadians as you leave? Of course, many people will be locked onto the game tomorrow. What do you say to your country? You have to bring the bacon home, you know, Raymond, for us. We need it here in Barbados.
Definitely that's the aim. You know, we have really good build up coming into the competition, and guys were pretty much clear with the roles that they will be playing throughout the competition, and I think that clarity has allowed a lot of the young guys to be able to come in and express itself. And definitely you can see the hunger in the guys wanting to win. So I think we're in a very good position to make our country proud.
Right. Thanks, Raymond, for coming and talking to us. It was a pleasure. So enjoy the rest of your evening. Of course, you're going to play against Trinidad and Tobago, the Brenlow Academy. That's going to be, of course, tomorrow. And we wish you all the success there, as you're hoping that Barbados can bring the bacon home.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks very much indeed. So that's the Barbados captain, the acting captain, Raymond Reef, as you know. Kyle Mayers, the appointed captain, he has gone off to Abu Dhabi along with young Aline, and we wish them all the success. It's going to be interesting to see the construct of the Barbados side. The last game that Barbados played, you know, it is my view that I'm a little concerned about the selection of the side. I believe that there's no aggression in the attack. And I thought that Barbados should have added McAllister to the team. It is true that he played a two-day game, but he had enough time to get across to Trinidad and Tobago. And it is my view that we haven't seen a lot of Shamar Holder. And when you give Trinidad and Tobago 5 or 6 spinners, it's almost like feeding the Trinidadians roti. And I think that we must understand, and you know, I'm not of the view that the pitches are slow in the Caribbean as people make them out to be. It is my view that we don't have any real top fast bowlers. I mean, there are one or two, but the effort is not there. We know of the work that someone like Andy Roberts would have done when he got 26 wickets on a tour of India. I saw Tino Bess at Border really waking up that pitch, and I would have thought that Barbados should have had a little bit more aggression. I note with interest that Shamar Holder really hasn't featured too much as far as that is concerned. But they've chosen to go with Seeley, the left-arm spinner. And I see that Chan Brathett has been added to the side. But I certainly would have had the option of another fast bowler. But of course, that's just good old Andrew Mason making a comment. All right. 6:30 in the country. Of course, I just came back from St. Lucia yesterday. And the West Indies losing the white ball series. In fact, we had some pretty good matches there, pretty reasonable crowds, despite the fact that things are very tight and the West Indies would have lost the game on Thursday. I thought Saturday in particular, the crowd was not bad at all. So we want to focus our attention now on what really went wrong. What went wrong in relation to the whole question of the West Indies team. Don Topley has joined us. Don, you were very much in St. Lucia. You came to Barbados, your second home. So can you do an assessment for us? Where did the West Indies go wrong in the T20 matches against England? Don, talk to me.
A very good evening to the panel. Good evening to yourself and to the listeners throughout Barbados and further afield. Look, seven games were concluded and seven games were won by the side winning the toss.
Mm.
So if I could say literally, you have to be a good tosser. If you're a good tosser, you're going to be in the pound seats.
Mm.
So that was important. The West Indies, probably, I have to say, they struggled in the power play. When they batted well in that fourth T20, they batted beautifully in the power play, mm-hmm. and got a huge amount of run. I think the power play was worth 70-odd.
Yes.
And bearing in mind power play overs, England bowled one maiden. So they got 70 in 5 overs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, the West Indies lost wickets, apart from in one game, and the game that was rained off, really. But so the power play remains an issue. I think England bowl proper bowlers in their power play.
Mm-hmm.
I think the West Indies have tried a lot of all-rounders, people that they can fill in with as seamers at times, or some of their seamers are over the hill and not as good as they were.
Mm.
So power plays determine a massive role in any game of T20 in modern day cricket. And I think England had some very good bowlers in the power play, but the West Indies were undone with some of their batting in the power play. They were a little bit loose, ambitious, over-attacking. Perhaps the word would be they weren't smart mm-hmm. in the power play. They would play one-dimensional, and unfortunately you have to do better than that. But the bowlers as well, when they have proper opening bowlers, I think the West Indies look a little more dangerous.
I agree with that assessment.
Great. And the fielding. The fielding remains an issue. When the West Indies field well, they look good. But occasionally, like the silly run-outs or the overthrows we saw, or some silly fielding, you need to be better. You can't hide donkeys in the field anymore.
Mm, I agree with that. Graham Bethel has joined us. Graham, it's good to have you on the show. I saw your son, in fact, we were on the same flight yesterday morning. Is your son in Barbados?
He is, Andrew. He came in with yourself and Jofra on Monday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I've got him catching up with family and friends.
Wonderful.
You know, he has to get around to see his grandparents and his various family when he's here. And as you know, he doesn't get here too often, and he heads off on tomorrow to New Zealand.
Oh, so tomorrow.
He's out and about. He's out and about this evening. Yeah, catching up with family and friends.
And you must be pretty proud of his performances in the T20 games. As a dad, I'm sure you're quite proud.
Yes. I think what pleased me, particularly the game on Saturday in St. Lucia, was, you know, he batted well. There was no unlike his father, there wasn't too much slogging going on. he found the ball. You know, he hit the ball in the gaps. He ran his runs, and then when the opportunity arose later on, he sort of managed to hit a few sixes, which obviously pushed his scoring rate up. But I think you know, listening to Don, that's one of the big differences. I think the English batsmen are certainly looking to take a little time to get in and then look to accelerate. We tend to want to go full on from the beginning, and I hate to say it, but 20 overs is still it's 120 balls, and there's plenty of time there for fellas to accelerate later on. But Shea and Aaron certainly batted well on Saturday to knock off that score.
I see. We're going to go to England now and speak to Ricardo Elcock. Hello, Ricky. Nice to see you. Your beard is getting a bit grey there now. Unlike Raymond's, he's got a big beard there, and it's black. Yeah. Yours is a bit gray. What's going on with you there? Are you getting much older?
Good.
Talk to
good evening. I have to say, good evening, Mr. Elcock. How are you?
Good evening, Graham. How are you, my brother? Are you well?
I'm good. The last time we would have seen each other would have been here in Barbados in the under 19 cricket.
Lord God.
Yes, that's... absolutely. I haven't seen you for a long time. Yes, but it's nice to hear your voice again, Graham. And, you know, pleasure to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. I'll put my camera on so he could see me as well.
Oh, looking younger.
You can see my beard there.
Yeah, indeed. Ricardo, when you do an assessment of the series, where did the West Indies go wrong, in your view?
Lack of cricket IQ is basically it. You know, in any game, you know, Andrew, if you are 20 for 3, you got to bat some balls. Simple as that. It doesn't matter whether it's a T10, it's a T20, if it's a T50, if it's a test match, it doesn't matter what it is. If you're 20 for 3, 30 for 3 or anything like that, you just got to bat some balls. And this team, for some reason, just showed a real lack of application, especially when they were under the cosh early, you know, losing early wickets. And that just shows lack of cricket intelligence, to tell the truth.
I see. Basil, your view, where did we go wrong, Basil? Can you tell me?
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to your listeners and to the panelists. I agree with Ricardo. Number one, that was one of the areas. I think we lost too many wickets in the power play. And that's where that situation exacerbated itself, because we found ourselves in a tight situation and guys did not have the thought process to stick around and maneuver the ball around and so on. I mean, going back to my countryman, Mr. Hetmyer, I was so disappointed with the shot that he got out. You know, we're in a tight situation. He played around a few balls. And I'm watching the game and say, yes, Etty, yes, stay like that. Mm. And just as I said that, the next ball he went for his favorite slug and got out caught, right? I mean, I'm not picking on him, but I'm just using that as one of the examples of where, you know, those are the areas we have to improve if we want to be one of the top teams. I heard you guys talking earlier about the fielding. I think that comes down also to the conditioning levels of our players. I don't think our players' conditioning is at where it should be.
I agree with that.
And I think that also plays a role with the batting, you know, because, you know, you get tired, you just lose your concentration momentarily and you're out. And then the final part, our bowling, is still not where it needs to be to compete against the teams, the best teams in the world. I mean, this English team, they didn't come fully loaded. So heaven help us if we were playing against a fully loaded English batting lineup with our bowling unit. It might be more of a massacre.
Mm. All right, let's pause our business, because when we come back, I'm going to certainly go to the panel and talk about Pooran, because he really struggled. I thought that England bowled very aggressively at him. And I believe that number three position, particularly coming to Barbados, I think he should have batted a bit lower, you know, out of the power play when the sprinters are possibly on, but that didn't happen. So, gentlemen, we come back, we're going to look at the top man, Pooran, who really didn't do well. I mean, also going to look at Hines, age 32. Why was he playing? I just don't know. Mason and Guest, Broughton Association, where the good friends are ASA Fieldwork Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASA Field, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right. Now, let's go to Philo. Our top man, Pooran, what happened to him? Tell us about his struggles.
Andrew, I don't know how much cricket Pooran played after the CPL, but certainly he didn't look like he's played a lot. And I thought that he was batting a little too high at number three. I would have preferred to see Pooran maybe batting in the middle order, where the ball is a lot older. I thought that the English bowlers worked about. Jofra Archer and Satib worked Pooran out. They didn't give him that leg ball to hit through the leg side that he so often cherishes on. Mm-hmm. They looked to bowl him a lot straighter. And if you look at the way of his modes of dismissals, he's always hitting the gates around a player. So they put him under pressure, pull away his back shots. And they were forcing him, obviously, to look for other shots, which he didn't produce. But going forward, I don't think Puran should be your number three. If King is going to be fit enough to play, mm-hmm. I think Chihope could slot in that number three.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can even tinker with bringing King the number three. All depends on how they're doing it, because the coach has a final say. But I think we need a proper batter at number three, Andrew. Someone that can control the innings and bat deep. I don't think Puran is that. Puran is an all-and-out hitter, and he looks to score. He looks to go hard at every ball, and that's where we struggle in the T20s with our power players. Because if we lose the early wicket, mm-hmm. we're going to lose 3 or 4. And the trend in that T20 is that we're losing the wicket in nearly every over in the power play.
Mm-hmm.
So you put pressure on the middle order, and I think that Puran needs to regroup himself. He's been offered some very lucrative contracts from what social media is saying. IPL as well, so you hope that he can build himself up. Bangladesh has some T20s to play against us. Mm-hmm. I believe he'll be involved in those T20s and try to get back some form and try to, you know, help West Indies cricket. Because if Puran scores runs, we're going to win a lot of games. That is keeping as well, too, Andrew. Keeping is not the greatest. I don't know how much practice he's doing with his keeping, but that is also another area that is very important, because he dropped Liam Livingston twice.
Yes, he did.
In a tight game, and obviously we paid the price for those drop catches from Puran particularly, but obviously Puran needs to up the intensity a bit more in his batting, and work a bit on his keeping, and he should be all right, because if he's batting well, his keeping should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just for him to go back to the drawing board, as I say, and do the necessary things to improve his skills.
Mm-hmm.
Just get his mental right.
We're going to go around. We're going to talk to Don and, of course, and come to you, Ricardo. Puran, is the number three position the best one for him, Don, you think?
I rate Puran highly. Like Heinrich Klaassen, probably two of the best world's top two players in T20. Heinrich Klaassen doesn't bat far. He bats 5, sometimes 6.
Mm-hmm.
maybe that could be the way to go, and I probably would side with Philo about his opinion. But Puran needs to be, and I don't like using the word, but those who are better cricketers, maybe a fraction more smarter, because there are some damn good bowlers around who bowl in the power play, and Puran has been coming in very early in the power play.
That's very true.
Maybe England worked him out. Maybe look at Heinrich Klaassen. Wonderful player in the same bracket as Puran, but he bats at 5.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Mr. Elcock? Where would you bat Puran?
I bat Puran at 6 because I think Puran is good for 18 balls. That's what all I think.
Say that again.
Really good for.
Say that again.
If you, yeah, batting for 18 balls.
18.
That's all Puran is
done. Only
really, 18 balls in a maroon.
Wow.
In a maroon outfit. That's what Puran is good for. I think Puran lacks application. I think he lacks commitment, and I think that's an issue when you're playing at this year. It seems to me that you only thing that Puran is interested in is strike rate, and perhaps that's to do with what is putting himself on show for the IPL or whatever other cricket that he has to play, but not really for West Indies cricket. Anybody with any sort of smartness about them coming in at 30 for 3 or batting when there's 30 for 3 and still slogging, it's just madness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a car crash waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kid should be batting at 6 where he doesn't have too many balls to slog at.
Oh, Graham, your view on that? Do you agree with the man that played with you in 1920 and under 19 cricket? You agree with that? You agree with
Andrew,
that?
I am. Puran is a very talented cricketer, but I would have to, I wouldn't say 18 balls, but that game that he got out, Jofra Archer's bowling, he scores, I don't know, 20 for 2, and he has that almighty
madness
slog to mid wicket and gets his middle stump knocked out the ground. You know, Puran just needs to just take a little time.
Mm-hmm.
You look at all the top players, and I've noticed it, you know, the Joss Butlers, the you know, all of these fellas, they're like 8 off of 10 balls. And if they get the pace of the pitch, they see the bowlers, they get used to the conditions, and then they can accelerate. I mean, Puran can hit 3 or 4 sixes in an over easy, but not in his first 10 balls. You know, but he comes out and it's as if they have to say, listen, I am going to take you down, regardless of who you are. And they take that chance. I mean, Evan Lewis is the same thing. I mean, he came out, you know, two slogs went over for a slip. He could have been out caught early.
Yes.
Shea Hope, I would say with Shea Hope, I do not understand how Shea is not playing in all of our formats. T20, I agree, should be batting at 350 over and the test match side. He is by far one of the best players we have in the Caribbean. And he can play all forms. But Puran, fellas just need to take a little time, you know. It's not, they're so good that they can catch up later on. But being 30 for 3, 40 for 4 in a T20 or any, it puts pressure. I mean, you look at Rovman Powell. He's come in and batted well. But he just, you know, he needs one of the top 3 or 4 to be there with him for the last 5 or 6 overs that they can then really go full out. But we're not being able to do that. And you know, fellas came off on that pitch in St. Lucia because it was a good wicket. As soon as there's a pitch with a little something in it, you know, it's not quite coming on. It's not, it might be a little turn. Laho Puran got out against Livingston, got stumped.
Yes.
You know, running down the wicket. Less little things like that. They just need to realize, look, it's not a 220 pitch, it's a 180, right. and try and be a little conservative and give themselves a chance. Our fellas just like to be, we want to boss it, but we just need to be a little more careful in those first dozen balls, 8-10 balls, because that's all you need, you know. And you see it, all the top players, they catch up easily. But if you get out for 4 or 5, that's the end of the story.
I agree.
And it puts pressure on those coming after it.
They got to be smarter. Just before we go, because it'd be interesting to see if Dr. Ford or Basil Butcher can look at the stats for Puran batting at 3 as opposed to maybe batting at 4 or 5. But I would want to suggest that he should be a floating batsman. And what I mean by that, it depends on the circumstances. Because let's assume that you have spinners in operation. You may very well find that it would be better to have a Puran, maybe better at 3 or 4. But I could not understand coming out of Barbados, given the fact that for the first 2 games he was clearly struggling, how could you have played him in the first match in St. Lucia on a pitch that certainly would have been even quicker than Barbados? So therefore, I think that the adjustment had to be made. But there's some people that you need to float depending on the circumstances. For instance, I remember Ryan Hines playing for Barbados in T20 when they first started. It is my view that if you had 120, I'd bat Ryan Hines maybe at 3, he can work the ball around. But if you have got maybe 220 to win, you may not necessarily want to bat him there. So therefore, I don't know if we should necessarily have a set position for Puran. I think it has to do with the circumstances. And certainly coming out of Barbados, there's no way that Puran should have batted at 3 in the very first game in St. Lucia. But that's just my thought. Gentlemen, Dr. Ford or Basil, any stats on Puran in relation to positions? Doc?
Before Basil elucidates on that, I would say that for Puran, it's about knowing your role and knowing your identity. You have to, and that's something the coach talks about a lot. Is Puran a finisher or is he a batsman? As one of the top T20 players in all the leagues, I believe he should be versatile enough to do all the things, and to pigeonhole him either batting lower down the order or to have him floating, I don't think would do justice to the player that we think he is. I think he has to be more astute and to decide what to do. I mean, to get back to the earlier question before Basil gives you those stats, we were beaten by batting and bowling, and just, I have to give Powell his props because I've been hard on him and he did well this series. And him and Lewis passed 100, but and Shepherd and Hope gave us some help, but all of the rest of the top 6, Rutherford, Puran, Chase, Hetmyer, none of them really came to the party. And even if you look at wickets, England took 28 wickets and we only took 16 wickets. And England bowled at a better economy rate most of our bowlers bent at 7+ or 8, while Wellington had more economy. So I don't know if Basil, you have the research.
Yeah.
I mean, Puran has done superbly for West Indies at number 3.
Mm-hmm.
His stats are top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
I just think Puran, in my view, Puran does not play enough cricket. And this just this T20 thing and this mode that he gets in, as was stated earlier, he wants to come in and want to boss the bowling from ball one. And I think there needs to be a shift in his approach, because he's clearly the most talented batsman we have on that team. No, if there's any batsman that the bowling unit have nightmares about before they play West Indies, it's Puran. Mm. Nobody else.
Mm.
But if he continues to think you don't want to respect the bowlers, respect the situation, and make adjustments accordingly, and as said earlier, he can catch up, because he's such a pre-scoring batsman. Mm. There is no need to rush from ball one.
Mm.
And that is the frustration I have with Puran. And I feel like since he hasn't been playing this ODI cricket, where you know you got to buckle down a little more in the ODI, all is just smash, smash, smash.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been rewarded for it. You saw he got $2 million contract there in the IPL.
Yes.
So, you know, he's going to look at you, well, look what I'm drawing down in India.
But when we look at Puran, though, just before we come back to Graham, though, and I appreciate what you're saying, but he looks a different batsman to me when the bowlers are aggressive. Now, we had a situation in Barbados.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, therefore the point I'm making is that your coach and the think tank must protect him, because the reality is that Puran batted in Barbados on some pitches that you had Geoffrey Archer bowling 3 straight at him. You had 2 sips in the gully in the forward short leg. Mm. And Puran is not the same player when you've got someone bowling aggressive at him. I want to invite the thoughts of the panel on that. Ricardo?
Let me just say that quickly and let the other guys. I agree with you. And this is the situation when we jump up and say about Puran playing test cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Right there in your face to see what would happen to him if he goes and plays test cricket as is today he is as a player. He would have to obviously make adjustments. But right now, with the fast bowling short at him and so on, he's not comfortable. And in test cricket, guys are not going to just be able to bowl 1 or 2 overs at you. They're going to be coming at 4 overs straight and got the 3 slips, 4 slips, the gullies, the forward short leg and so on. And you're going to have to work your way out of that, right? And we saw in this series, whenever he faced that situation, he tried to slug his way out. I mean, he got a nice good one up here too. Got caught behind. So all of those things to me, if Puran wants to be the best as he claims, he got to play more cricket and not just T20 cricket.
Just before Graham, he comes in, of course, a comment from Ricardo. Now, so when I talk about the whole question of a floating batsman, England won the toss in the first T20 in St. Lucia. Is that true? Who won the toss in the first T20?
West Indies won the toss. Uh-huh. Sorry, West Indies, the first T20 was the one where England, West Indies only made 140-something.
Right.
England won that toss.
Right, that's right. So the point I'm making is that England won the toss on a pitch that has some bumps. We saw what happened to Puran in Barbados, and yet Puran batted at 3. That did not make sense in my view. I'm saying to you that you're going to set up your batting. You had Geoffrey Archer coming to bowl him along with the others who, not as quick, but they were aggressive. So therefore, I'm saying to you, having come out to Barbados where you were struggling with the pace, you lose the toss. The pitch has got some moisture in it, some bounce. Therefore, I certainly, in that first a T20 would have made the necessary adjustment and maybe possibly batting a little bit lower. Anyhow, we just want to get a comment from you, Graham, on that, and then, of course, we'll go to Ricardo.
No, I agree with everything that fellows have said. You know, it's listen, T20, you just need to give yourself a chance. You can't just come out and hit every ball for 4 and 6.
Right.
And you know what? The difference between what I noticed between England and West Indies is we would hit it, and certainly here in Barbados, we would hit a 6, and then it would be 3 dot balls, and you'd score 7 off the over. England would get a single, get 2, hit 1, 4, and end up with 8 or 9, 10 without doing anything. You know, that T20 is not all about hitting 6s and 4s. And our T20 approach is different to a lot of the other countries. And that's fine. As long when it comes off, it's fantastic. But if you're going to get any consistency, you need to have the fellas in the top 4, they need to be batting 10, 12 overs and leaving it to the fellas to come in later on, batting at 6, 7, whatever, to then be able to free up and over those last 6 or 8 overs. Once we lose those early wickets, we put in pressure on and it becomes difficult. And in good conditions, we're great. But once the pitch is doing a little something, our fellas just have to realize, you know what, we need to bat mm-hmm. properly. You mentioned Puran, short ball, whatever.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It comes back. You know, fellas say all the time, once you play in red ball cricket and the technique and whatever, you can play T20. If you're just playing T20 all the time on good wicket, short boundaries,
mm-hmm.
bowlers that probably might not be the best for the, you know, they're not the best bowlers. A lot of these T20 leagues do not have the best bowlers bowling. They're fellas who are good and doing the circuit. But you can take advantage of them. But when you get up against good bowlers, and Jofra Archer is a good bowler.
Oh, yes.
And he will come at you, and they will, you know, England had slips, they had a short leg, they were being aggressive with their field placing. And all you got to do is just stick it out. Let them bowl and face 2 or 3 overs and then
mm-hmm.
catch up. But once we lose those early wickets, it makes it very difficult. Very difficult to then put a score.
All right, heading to 7 o'clock. Just before you come in, Baz, I know you want to make a point, but there's someone waiting, 441790. Hello, welcome. Missing the guest.
Hello, good afternoon.
How are you?
I am good. How are you?
You got a big voice.
Yeah. I agree with what that guy just said, right?
Mm.
Our batsmen need to learn to bat.
To bat.
I maintain that a cricketer is a cricketer. Because in T20 cricket, you're going to have to apply some test cricket batting when things are tight.
Right.
Okay? In test cricket, and you're chasing runs, you might have to employ some T20 batting if the overs are small and you want to make the runs.
Right.
So we need our cricketers to play cricket.
Mm.
You can make 12 runs in an over without hitting 2 sixes.
Mm-hmm.
But we hit the ball in the air and wait and see if the field is going to catch it, then to try to run 3 runs.
Mm.
Okay? So we need to think our cricket. We're not thinking our cricket. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
We just want to go there, hit every ball for 6, every ball for 4, match finish. We're
yep.
going to think our cricket. We're going to think our bowlers. Just as good as we want to bat, the opposers' bowlers will be bowling. You've got to respect that,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to think your way through matches.
I agree
with
that.
That's all I have to say.
No, very good.
Thank you.
The phones are lighting up, so let's try and take a couple of calls here. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guess. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guess.
Andrew?
Yes.
Good evening.
How are you? How is St. Andrew going?
St. Andrew's cool and nice.
Good.
Not too much heat. It's just right.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with the guy there, Alcock,
mm.
when he says that the West Indies need to think more.
Mm.
Can you imagine a man in the 90s and running down a wicket to hit a 60, maybe to get up to 99?
Mm.
I think it was 93.
Mm.
I was Sam. I thought about Lewis. Evan Lewis, you remember that? You remember? You know, yeah. What you're talking about Andrew.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. It wasn't smart, was it?
It was poor
mm.
in the 90s, and he ran out of it, hit a mile for 6, and was stamped. Well, Andrew, you're the man. You can't bat, but I know you would have been different to that.
Mm.
You'd be looking to get 7 singles or a couple of 2s or whatever to get 100, and then he could go down the wicket.
Mm-hmm.
So I was saying for a long time, for many years now, that the West Indies needs to think. They got the talent. There's no doubt about that. But they need to think, you know. And it wants to start to think cricket and think it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to experienced people like the panel you got there. They would be better.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, man, I just want to know the other thing if I can be hearing some cricket on the radio Friday.
Yeah, there's going to be cricket on the radio on Friday. And we're also hoping to bring some cricket in the Global Super League as well. We're hoping that can materialize. But there will be cricket in Barbados come Friday. So you'll have a chance to hear some cricket.
I talk about Bangladesh investing.
Yeah. There's going to be commentary. Yeah.
Because, you know, I like to listen to the radio commentary.
Yeah.
And test cricket is my thing. I really love test cricket.
Okay, I see.
I love test. I prefer to watch test cricket. People say boring, but for me, it is lovely.
You love test cricket.
Anyway, Andrew, you stay focused, my brother. Thank you.
Okay, we got some several calls. Let's try and take a couple of them. 4417-90 Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
No, I was trying to get in a long time ago.
Mm.
Now, I remember a little boy at Kensington Oval. I heard that Mahesh was speaking to some people, and he said he went to India to give a speech. People fly for two days to bring the kids to hear that Mahesh speak.
Mm.
I say that to say this. I was a caller, tried to get in a couple of weeks ago. Now, we got people fly for 2 days to hear him. We got two of the greatest fast bowlers still alive with the best economy rate, which is currently Ambrose and George Garner.
Yes.
We're struggling with bowlers at every level. My thing is, why can't these people that run in West Indies cricket come to a realization to realize that we got to bring the best fast bowlers around them? We got Greenidge and Haynes, two of the greatest opening pair in the world. Mm. I listened to Brian Lara in Canada speaking on the radio. And they said to Lara, asked a question, they said, what's the problem? Lara said, the West Indies is beating the West Indies. He said, I don't understand. He says he went to Australia and he saw them in the room showing the Australian young batsman, Greenidge and Haynes, batting and running singles. He showed them a tape of Ambrose and Garner and Marshall and then bowling. If you look at Warner have a lot of Greenidge and Haynes in it. He pushed the ball in the bowling tight and ran singles. If you look at India, Pakistan, all of those teams, the greats leading, the greats is coaching them. Why we have the greatest cricketers in the world are going all about the great cricketers that we never hear about.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Let's take a couple before we go back to the panel. Several calls. 4417-90. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Hey, our favorite female caller. How are you?
I'm fine, but disappointed.
You're disappointed? Why are you disappointed?
Because the way our cricketers play the game.
Mm. Tell me.
I agree with you, and Sandy Collins said that when Poran was struggling, I said to my friend, Poran should be banned not three. Poran should be banned not five, because when he will have more balls, so you have the time to get through. And we don't have no head. All Sammy could do is eat every time the camera, he eating. He ain't thinking.
He eating.
And we were poor.
Ooh.
We could have been better. If we had applied the basics, we would have won the game.
Yeah.
But you can't be down for four in the first
camera doesn't make sense.
Poor. And why did it take so long to bring Shehore?
Yeah. In fact, Graham was talking earlier about Shehop. I mean, such a wonderful player. And to put Hines in the side at 32 and bowling full and wide didn't make a lot of sense to me.
But not only the first match we played, why Matthew Ford did not play that game?
Right. In fact, I know Don Topley likes Matthew Ford. Don is there in that five-star hotel there on the West Coast. He's eating some Beijing food there.
Hines bowling lollipop.
Oh, my golly.
Men that can bat. You're playing one or three cricket.
No.
Hines should never have played that there.
No.
And then you bring
McCoy.
Fellas, for and McCoy. McCoy ain't playing the cricket.
Yeah.
Where are the men that?
But I got a problem with McCoy, and I also have a problem with Rutherford, because if you know, in fact, you know what's interesting about West Indies cricket, and I know people criticize me. We actually have cricketers who put on weight in the middle of a series, you know.
Take
Rutherford for an example. If you look at Rutherford, it is pretty clear to me he's put on a lot of weight.
Exactly. You look at
what is that all about?
Look at the English team, fit and trim.
Oh, come on!
Look at the New Zealand.
Look at McCoy. Look at McCoy. Look at McCoy in the field.
McCoy. Very poor.
You see McCoy in the field?
We should be penalized for fitness.
Oh. Thanks for your contribution.
Fitness is very important.
Thanks for your contribution. We take another call before we go back to the panel. 4417 90. Hello, welcome.
Hello, good night, Andrew.
Good night to you. How are you?
I good, Andrew, man. Andrew, me every week we talk for Ryan, and then for Ryan is a fella play a lot of cricket. What more could you all tell him? You don't hear nothing from Darren Sammy and he could. Everybody get misled. It's time now Sammy come out and say what's going on. Or we got to tell Sammy, thank you for telling me today. You understand? Now,
yeah, caller, just lower your red in the back there. I know that you like to listen to Mason and guests, but I like to listen to it too. Just ease your radio down.
Yeah. Sammy got to realize that he's not big in the game. And he can't go and bring who he wants. Now, you ask what he said there from Trinidad is 32.
Yes.
But I mean, Russell going to know he ain't playing back there.
No. It seems to me as if the court seems to have some big plans for Russell. I think the time has come for us to move on from Russell. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that. Not even Russell. The court should move on too. He should move on too. But Andrew, we get
that's a big statement to make, caller.
No, it's not a big thing. That is the truth. The courts need to go ahead with Russell. And you playing, as we say already, England at the man here tonight. England were pushing, get a single, get 2 and 3.
Work the ball around.
Amari, the experience of Perrine and the rest of fellas. If you bought 3 dot balls at them, you know you had 3 balls, should be boundaries. You don't play quite that way, Andrew.
Right.
You got to relate. You play for a team.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make your people proud.
Right.
If you can't make your people proud, that means you ain't got no reason for you. That means you're not interested in what you're doing. You want to please yourself and please the other people. And you are telling the people turn to see if you do good. And the players turn back on them.
It was very disappointing.
Them turn them back on them, Andrew.
All right. Thanks.
I disappointed the U.S. team.
All right. Thanks for your contribution. We got many calls backed up, so we're going to go back to the panel as well. But let's pause for business calls. Of course, many people in the WhatsApp as well. Not agreeing with you, Mr. Elcock, saying that you would only give Poran 18 balls. They're asking, what are you talking about? So when you come back, you got to defend the boxer. You know, we like it like that on Mason and Guest. Mason and Guest, Broughton Association, with our good friends at ASAP, we work around the best shot of the day. ASAP, white rum. If anybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASAP is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want. Now we're going to turn our attention, of course, to England. We're going to go to Don Topley. I mean, we talked a lot about the West Indies. We want to look at England, where they did go right in terms of winning the series. So we're going to look at some of their players. But just before we do that, the regional tournament starts on January the 29th. In fact, I've got the schedule. I'm going to send it to Dr. Ford. I'm going to send it to Philo Wallace. I'm going to send it to Basil Butcher, to everyone. Barbados will be playing 4 matches at home. In fact, I broke that story yesterday. And it's an interesting situation where they're going to be even taking some of the cricket to Windsor Park as well. So it looks as if we're going to have, you know, that situation again where it's home and away. I know that Barbados' first match is going to be against the Harpy Eagles. That's going to be in Guyana. So I did, in fact, do that story yesterday. And we are awaiting, of course, the official release from Cricket West Indies. Now, let's go to Don Topley. Don, we spoke about the West Indies. Where did they go wrong? But where did England go right, Don? Can you tell me?
Salt, Butler, various power plays. The bowlers bowled well when they were asked to in the power play. They bowled attacking, trying to take wickets. And the fielding was pretty good. I mean, look, this pleased me. Good evening, Graham. But the thing about Jacob Bethel, Jofra Archer and Saqib Mahmood, okay, they all came to Barbados earlier than right. the main tranche of the team. And they spent time at Franklin Stevenson's Cricket Academy, all right? And they reaped what they sowed. They practiced, they got themselves tuned, they practiced hard, and they deserved their success. Jacob Bethel, for me, was brilliant in the field. So a couple of new lads, Bethel, Overton, enhanced England's fielding because they're athletic, good hands, good throws. You know, they added to the team. So I think there was a lot to be pleasing for England. But if I just look back, it was only 11 months ago, gentlemen, that England came here, late November, December, and lost to the West Indies.
Yes.
So I look back to that series, which I was here before the World Cup last December, and the West Indies looked powerful and looked good. Not quite as good this time round.
Mm-hmm. Graham, where did England go right?
Andrew, I don't think it's where England went right. I mean, England just played, you know, what they saw in front of them. We know what Jos Butler can do. We know what Phil Salt can do. They, in the power play, they sort of. Mm-hmm.
You're muted. You're muted, Graham. You're muted.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. My apologies. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, no, England just did what they had to do. You know, they did well in the power play. They're aggressive. They went for it. Yeah, and then the fellas that batted that came in, sort of, 4-5, you know, Jacob, Liam Livingston made, you know, Liam is a fella I've noticed. He sort of will get runs one day and then the next, but that's how they play. But they never really tried to overhit the ball, and they got the scores. And then they're fielding, you know, how many times did we see West Indies, you know, when they're batting, hit the ball to the boundary and run one?
Yes, yes.
There was one instance where Sam Curran ran around, saved four and stopped it, and they ran one run. Mm. Those ones and twos, over 20 overs, you know, it's 15, 20 runs extra. Little things like that. And when you get good sides, it all adds up. I just think, you know, England have, you know, their bowling is decent. I think on good wickets they may struggle a little bit. I think you know, a couple of them struggled, but they've got players that they can bring in. And as it's mentioned before, this is not England's full strength side. I think some of the players on this tour have had an opportunity, and hopefully, you know, they've put some pressure on those who will come back in. But you know, West Indies, it's the same thing. West Indies all around. Our batting, we need to run singles. We need to try not to be as aggressive. Our bowling, we need to just try and get the balls in the right place. And our fielding is, it needs to be, you know, it's 20 overs. 20 overs of intensity is what you need, not 10 when it's going well. And I think we just give away too many runs, whether it's not running them or in the field. And that's fine when you're playing the weaker side, but when you get into the stronger games. And the other thing too, which I keep looking at, is the consistency. You know, we will have that game where we knock off 219. Great. But we need to be able to do that more often. And we're not saying knock off 219, but restrict the side to 160. Knock them off. And it's you know, we look, we have a talented group of players. I'm a big pusher for some of the younger players being given a chance. You know, you mentioned Matthew Ford.
Mm.
We know Matthew from down at Franklin Stevenson Academy. You know, there are several others. Naeem Young. Naeem Young is another very good player. You know, the fellas need to be given a chance. And you talked about Andre Russell. You know, Andre Russell comes out, he bats, he scores 30 off of 15 balls, bowls one over, probably gives away 10 runs in the field. Mm. There are a lot of youngsters who could do the same thing. And they need to be given the chance because they're not going to get better unless they're given the opportunity. And we have too many good young cricketers who I believe aren't being given the chance to
absolutely
to mm-hmm. play. Ricardo, you know,
Jacob is my
no. Continue. Continue, Graham. Sorry about that. He's frozen there, no? Oh, all right. Okay, but let's go to Ricardo while
Passporter from Guyana.
Yes.
You got seven against Barbados.
The thing is about.
But I want to just say this quickly. Before you say Philo, De Kock made 100 in the CPL. If you remember that 100,
right?
De Kock is one of the most free scoring batsmen in the world, and De Kock played like he was playing a test match, and just caught up. I always said they should show that 100 over and over to all our young West Indian batters. That you can, he was batting at 40 something strike rate in the power play and ended up at over 100 and change strike rate when he got to the 100. So this notion you got to slug from ball one, that's a classic innings to look at.
Andrew, the thing is about opportunities, as Graham said, is that you have one selector.
Mm.
I don't know how these scouts are working. CW has said nothing about the scouts, who they are. But we always saying is people being picked and people being released and nothing being said. And then you have that one man selector who has the power to pick or not pick who he wants, it's going to be trouble. So I think that CWI has to be blamed as well for what is happening with this cricket. I think our head coaches have too much power and they're abusing it. How could you take Chamar Springer out of cricket and take him to Sri Lanka and play Obi McCoy, who wasn't playing any cricket?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What was the sense in doing it?
Madness.
And you can smile and drink tea? No, these things are wrong. And they're hurting the young cricketers. And if CWI don't wake up, the young cricketers will not play any more cricket. You see Moti now going and playing in the Global T20. He has an excuse. So our CWI needs to be careful what they're doing. You cannot take a man from cricket and tell him come and sit and watch a man who just came out of St. Lucia. I mean, St. Vincent, nobody know what we're doing. So it is wrong. I think we need to get back our selection panels across the tree, across the formats and across the genders, get the people to watch cricket. And start from sending all kind of people around the place watching this cricket because nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody knows what communications are happening in relation to players. I would like to ask the players themselves, too, the scouts watching them in Trinidad. So CWI has a lot to be blamed. They're quiet and they're listening. And if they don't wake up, Andrew, nobody's going to go and watch no cricket. Mm. We played a two-day game in Antigua, 80-somebody for 9 against Bangladesh.
Mm.
I mean, come on, we spreading the cricket. We don't have 1,000 cricketers, but we want to play 1,000 matches a day. To prove what?
Absolutely.
What, Andrew? We don't have the quality players. And if the people at CWI don't understand it, something is wrong. And the guy who called about our top coaches, our former great should be down in Antigua, helping those young boys. You had a two-day game down there. You got Nikita Miller as a head coach. Get our greats to help those young men in the academy that don't want to go and work for 5 days a week. Give them 3 days and let them go and work for 3 or 4 hours a day. Just to supervise and fine-tune certain things. But also, people at CWI believe that they have all the answers and everything is stats. But stats don't cut it. It's the eye that can see the ability to play the game under pressure and in certain conditions and against certain opposition. If you Jofra Archer get picked on stats, English play Jofra Archer going to run a ball fast and get wickets. They're going to do the stats, run a ball fast. Devalue fast bowling, Andrew, and I'm going to keep saying it till my voice stops.
We devalue fast bowling. England now jump us for fast bowling.
Yep.
And we still playing medium pitches all the time to come and bowl the people white ball and open the bowling with his left hand spinner all the time. No, give the fast bowlers the ball and let them run in the bowl fast. Let people know that we have quality fast bowlers out there.
And then you pick Hines. It's
simple as that. And but then you don't have people. But
and then you pick Hines. The only
thing I know that gig was Hines Beans.
Oh.
I don't know if we do have a Hines. You pick a man to bowl wide and full.
But well, yeah.
You pick a man to bowl wide and full. That is unbelievable. I be thinking that we going to play T20 cricket in 2024, Andrew. Same way we played it in 2016.
Yeah.
This power thing. And the fellas in 2024 don't have as much power as the fellas in 2016. So you're going to bring skill.
Yep.
Bring the skill and the power and you're going to get success.
I agree.
You just can't bring all power.
Not the fourth.
It's
sad how our cricket is being shaped by those who encourage. It's sad.
It's true, and I go back to something. I go back to what Mr. Bessel said, you know, when he talked about Andre Russell. I respect everyone that's played the game, made a contribution, but Andre's been playing for 13 years, 80-odd T20s. Andre averages about 22, and he goes at 9 and over, one wicket per match. And I think the nostalgia of the coach is Andre fit into a unit that had lots of power hitting all rounders, Sammy himself and you know Bravo and the others. So in that construct, he was a player who fit into a role because there were many replicated like him that could do the same thing, could give you a quick 20 and could bowl an over here and there. But in this team now without the power, Russell is not giving us enough to really solidify the position that he's in now, and it doesn't make sense. But also, you see the inflexibility of a Hussain, that Hussain always bowls the first few overs. If Akhil has the experience and is a top-rated spin bowler, why can't there be more flexibility in how he's used? Why can't he come back? If he's the most economical and one of the better ones, why can't he bowl other overs and be kept back to do other things? Is it that he's a one-trick pony? Is it that we have no other ideas? What is his actual role and contribution? And I think, I think that the stats are artifactual, because once you get into the power play, you know, sometimes you get a mistake if you don't hit over the top and it makes a guy look better than he should. But I believe that we have to explore what Hussain can do and how we can use all of our bowlers, because every match is different, the conditions are different. I don't think any one player can fulfill one single role. But I mean, England did very well. The new players came forward, you know, you saw Bethel, you saw Salt, the captain came back into form, you saw Jax, and they just bowled really well. And Mahmood was fantastic. So, I think that they showed us that they can do it with, you know, leave some of their players home and come here and beat us. But the thing is, we can't really go back to just playing the old players and the nostalgia of a Charles and the other players. I think bringing back Lewis has been a good thing. He didn't perform as he would have liked in the T20s, but at least he has some ability. And, you know, the guys have to really try hard and pay more attention to the game and understand that if you are dominant in the leagues, that international cricket is harder than the leagues, and you need to apply yourself more. And I think this is one of the big issues and fallacies of West Indian cricket. We just pick players because they do well in leagues, and that shouldn't be the case.
All right, well, Graham is going to leave us now. So, Graham, your parting words. Just before... Graham, you still with us? I know you're going to leave now. Maybe get a...
Yeah, right. Yeah, I got to... Sorry, Andrew. Unfortunately, I need to leave at the moment.
Okay.
But no, great. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to ask you quickly, just before you go, of course, Bangladesh, we start a test series on Friday. Your expectations before you go?
Well, somebody mentioned earlier that West Indies were 80-something for 9. I think it was Philo.
Yes.
I mean, Bangladesh, I think the series are being played. It's being played in Antigua, I believe.
Yes,
it's first Antigua.
Test. First test Antigua.
You know, again, five days test match. Bangladesh will come. They'll have their spinners. You know, we West Indies need to play proper cricket. And, you know, there's a bit of rain around, and Bangladesh will be coming to take us down. And, you know, the side, I see some names playing for the West Indies. I mean, in that A side that played against Bangladesh, I'm embarrassed to say, I'm not really sure who they are. You know, because they're fellas that you just don't see regularly.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
And it's good that they're getting the opportunity, but you know, we need to really concentrate on whoever we're playing. Please do not take Bangladesh for granted, because they will be coming out. They've got good spinners. The batting is solid, and they'll be looking to do well against the West Indies. And I wish Craig and his team the best, but you know, they need to be on their toes against Bangladesh.
All right. Thanks very much, Graham Bethel, for coming and talking to us. Enjoy the rest of your night. Thank you very much. Heading up to 7.
Ricardo, nice to see you, buddy.
Yeah, next time in Barbados, Graham, we must catch up, eh?
Mm-hmm. We must do that, for sure.
All right.
I'll buy you a lemonade.
All right. What are we going to do? We're going to can we pause for business calls now? Ken is in red. Maybe he went to Paris Speaks. I think they was on last night for the St. Michael constituencies. I didn't see you there. Ken, were you there? Paris Speaks?
Oh, no.
you couldn't make it.
I couldn't make it.
Say hello to Philo.
Oh, good evening to Philo. How are you doing, man? I hope that in January you're not keeping bad company with this Andrew Mason guy. All you gentlemen, I mean, you got Don Topley and Basil.
Yes.
All these gentlemen you have here.
Oh, and a rogue.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
All right, when we come back from our commercial break, the doc was talking about Andrew Russell, but someone is saying, is it because that Kemar Roach is a Barbadian and he wants to know if we should still be continuing playing Kemar Roach? Now, that is what we're going to discuss when we come back from a commercial break. Mason and guests brought in association with our good friends at ASFE, where we're on the best shot of the day. All right, heading to 7:30 in the country, of course, in terms of local cricket as well. The situation where we've got the finals of the 40 over competition, that's going to be on this coming Sunday. It's been shifted to Kensington Oval, and many people believe that it should be played at Kensington Oval. This is a very funny time of the year. The game was scheduled for Lairs and rain cats and dogs and pigs on Sunday, and hence the game is now shifted to Kensington Oval. We hope to hear from Stephen Leslie pretty soon as far as that is concerned. But now, let me come to you, Philo. Where is Philo? This one is for you. Now, the West Indies squad, Craig Bathurst, captain, Josh De Silva, vice captain, Alec Atanas, Casey Carty, Justin Graves, Kevin Hodge, Tevin Imlach, Azari Joseph, Shamar Joseph, Michael Louis, Anderson Phillip, Kemar Roach, Jaden Seals, Kevin Sinclair, and Jamal Warrican. That is the 15-man squad that was selected. And someone is saying, but Dr. Ford but he's now left us now, Graham Bethel was talking about Andrew Russell. And they want to know from you, Philo, do you think that the time has come for us to say goodbye to Kemar Roach? Philo, talk to me. We can't hear you, Philo. It's very uncommon for you not to be heard. And so,
Philo, you're not being heard.
Philo, you got to unmute there, Philo.
I'm not sure what's wrong with him, Philo, because he's not muted. He's not seen here.
Yeah, Philo, yes, continue. Yes, Philo.
It's the conk properties in the rear, is that?
Philo, are you with us? Philo?
Maybe you can go out and come back.
Something in. With
Philo. Mm. Okay, Okay. Well, let's go to Ricardo before Philo gets his act together. Ricardo, the team has actually been named to play against Bangladesh. Kemar Roach, what do you think?
I don't know. I would like extra pace. I'll tell you, you know, that's me. But of course I was a quick bowler, so probably that's my issue. But I like Sears. I like obviously if Azari's gonna play, if you could sort his problems out. But I'd like somebody else that's got extra pace. That's gonna be my normal thing in any sort of test match should be five batsmen, a wicketkeeper, batsman, or a rounder, one spinner. Mm-hmm. If one spinner don't bore you out, chances are three ain't gonna do it. Mm. So, and I like three seamers, three quick bowlers.
That means Ricardo, that Roach sits out and Seals, the two Josephs play. And Graves play as the all-rounder.
I'm not so sure about the second Joseph. And I'm talking about the Guyanese Joseph. I'm not so sure about that.
Mm.
I think that boy need to bowl some more cricket, some balls. And I'd like somebody with extra pace. And I maybe the boy from Barbados, the McAllister.
Yep.
I like that pace.
Mm. So hold on.
That's the pace that I like.
Ricardo, I just want to come back to you on this. So you're saying that you wouldn't play Shamar Joseph on Friday? Is that what you're saying?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't, actually. No,
and,
I want
and that's,
extra pace.
And that's
Shamar is extra pace, though. And I think Shamar is quicker than McAllister.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
I think he
may be consistently quicker than McAllister, because what I find about McAllister is that he can bowl three or four of us pretty sharp, but then he's down on pace. I don't know why that is.
Pardon me? That's because you don't play it.
Okay. Oh, he's not
good enough. You're going to keep playing, yes. Aren't you? Yes. Fit enough.
But hold on. No, that's going to make some news in the Ghana papers tomorrow. Ricardo Elko is saying... Come on, hold on. I want to ask this question again. You're saying, Mr. Elcock, that for the test match upcoming in Antigua from the 15-man squad, you're not going to play Shamar Joseph?
Not because of Joseph. I'm not saying that Joseph is not going to be going forward, but I want extra pace at that particular point. You understand? And that's the only problem. I'm not saying that this boy is not going to be able to make it at some stage. But I'm talking about right this minute.
So hold on. So you're going to leave out Shamar Joseph and who else? In fact, we got a 15-man squad. You
can only play 11. One spinner.
And that spinner would be who?
I don't care who the spinner is.
Okay.
Just
before we go to Don Topley and to Philo for a comment, will you play Kemar Roach in your final 11?
Me?
Yeah. Yes, you.
He's in the squad now, so yes, I would.
And that's based on what?
Right this minute. But if I was picking... Huh?
And that's based on what? So remember you say you want pace, you know?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Mm. That's what I'm saying. But at this point... I think he'd be the one to hold in this squad.
Okay.
If I was picking a new squad, I'd be looking for out and out quickie.
I see. Now, let's come to you, Philo. The whole question of Kemar Roach. Do you think, first of all, would you pick Kemar Roach in this 15-man squad, Philo?
Yes, Andrew, I would pick Roach in the 15-man squad.
Okay.
But with clear instructions.
Yeah.
There's only two test matches, but with clear instructions, because we have to move on from Kemar Roach.
Mm.
But I will pick him in this 15-man squad, because if you look, there's a release that came out when they announced the contracted players. Mm-hmm. Roach was not given a contract.
No.
The misstatements of, I can't say verbatim, but Roach should be working along with the young fast bowlers as like a mentor.
Right.
So I believe that this is the start of that process. Because obviously Roach is 36. Roach is not as fast as he used to be. And we need to move on, but we need to also remember that he has control to the goal attack.
Mm.
Yeah. You don't want to leak too many runs against this Bangladesh. Bangladesh come here to beat us. And we want to beat Bangladesh and try to end the World Test Championship on a high. So Roach is there to add stability and experience and try to help those young cricketers, those young fast bowlers particularly. You see, we don't get a lot of information from Cricket West Indies.
Right.
How many information comes? It comes at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night.
Ooh. Mm. So when all the editors have gone home. Just Philo, what I want you to do for me, Philo, from the 15-man squad, you don't have to answer now. Tell me those that you would leave out. I want your final 11, Philo, to start on Friday. Now, let me come. While you do that, let's come to Basil Butcher. Basil, what's your take on Kemar Roach?
To be frank, Roach would not be playing in my 11.
Mm.
My 11 is the two Josephs.
Yes.
Seals. Braves is the fourth seamer.
Right.
Warrican is the spinner.
Right.
The silver, the wicketkeeper. And then you got the batters, Brathwaite, Louis, Hodge, Athanase, and somebody else.
Just to make it easy for us, take your time. Just give us the players that you will leave out. But what we will do, we'll come back to you shortly on that. Right, so just tell me the players that you leave out. For sure, you're not going to be picking Kemar Roach. Let's go to Dr. Ford. Dr. Ford, would you continue with Kemar Roach?
Well... For this 11, for my 11, he wouldn't make it because I picked the Josephs and Seals. I think Seals is the leader of the attack. Joseph is someone who needs to bowl a better length. And I mean, the former vice captain and our younger Joseph, I believe he's done well in Australia. He's done well in other places. We have to continue and encourage him.
Mm-hmm.
And having in the side and work, and I don't really see him as getting a place there. My main issue is the batting. I think the batting is kind of, and I worry about that. But I know that Roach has done very well in Antigua, and it's one of the places he does very well. But the thing is, who do you leave out? Which of the youngsters do you tell, okay, you have to sit and wait? And I think that's going to be the difficulty, because the construct should be three fast bowlers, Warrican and
Alorunga.
And I don't really see a space there.
Mm, interesting. Oh, well, you know my view on Roach. I mean, if you're going to pick Roach in this 15-man squad, you will have to play him. Otherwise, I mean, you really shouldn't pick him at all. I think so. I can't imagine that you'll pick a Kemar Roach and don't play him. Yes, Basil. You're saying?
No, I said that's a fair point. But looking at the opposition, Bangladesh.
Yes.
One of the things we know that they are weak against is fast bowling, aggressive fast bowling, bowling short at them. This Bangladesh team, in my view, they have come with a bowling attack that I feel that's going to give us a lot of problems.
Right.
But I still got my doubts about batters against our fast bowlers.
Mm, interesting. Don Topley, you think it's going to be a competitive series? Don, talk to me.
I think I do. Yes, I do. I think the West Indies, Bangladesh are there for the taking. They're going to be competitive, maybe not as resilient, and you've got to play some good cricket. I like Roach. I know him from Surrey. I think he's a skillful bowler. Okay, he may not be very quick, but listen, I admire Ricky Elcock. I mean, I played against him. I know him well, and he will advocate the quick men. But listen, I also believe you have to be a good bowler to do well at Test cricket. You can be fast, and it can create a few problems for a batsman, but the game is littered with fast bowlers who haven't been good enough. You need to be, firstly, a good enough bowler. And Kemar Roach is terrific. So I'm happy he plays this Friday.
You said terrific. That's a strong word to use it at the moment.
He's skillful.
He's okay now.
He certainly, Roach certainly is very skillful. That's not the issue. the issue is what you're looking at going forward. And
right.
That's, and the West Indies has got to think down the road, haven't they? As Phil has said, it should be lovely to be somewhere around that side with the bowlers that we've got. But, you know what I mean, is at 36, are you still going to be running the show, especially against Bangladesh? Maybe some youngsters have got to be getting some experience, haven't they?
Yeah, okay. Now, gentlemen, we got another, just about 20 minutes left on the show. We're going to talk to Stephen Leslie pretty soon. Of course, we got some local cricket as well. We've got but let's go to Philip Spooner. Philip has joined us as well. Philip, you got an update on Sir Gordon Greenidge. Philip Spooner.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everyone. Thanks, Andrew, for having me on. Ricky, good to see you, man.
Good to see you, Spence.
Yep.
Yeah, on the top of Roach, though, before I proceed, so Roach is the best bowler in the history at this ground, and by a long way. Roach has got figures of, he's got 5 for 8 at this ground, he's got 5 for 53, he's got 5 for 60, he's got 4 for 30, he's got 4 for 52 at this ground. Don't play him at this ground, they'll never play him again.
I like that one. So
he's slaughtered Bangladesh at this ground. I was there for the 5 for 8. And by lunchtime, they were bowled out. So if you don't play Roach on this ground, you'll never play him again.
Oh.
So he is in the squad, 15, and he has the best record. Actually, as a matter of fact, in the history of Test cricket, there are very few bowlers who have as good a record at a ground as Roach has in Antigua.
Oh.
Roach averages about 12 in Antigua. So if you don't play him Friday, it makes no sense having him. But obviously, that means they will.
But let's assume that. Philip? Let's assume the first test match was in Jamaica.
They might not play him there. But if you have a guy that averages 12 at a ground and you put him in a 15-man squad and you don't play him, why you don't play him at a ground where he's 30?
I see.
Yeah.
All right. But, I mean, greater things have happened.
Yeah, indeed.
You know?
You can't be in a squad and not play.
Yeah, yeah. Talk to us about Sir Gordon Greenidge.
I had an amazing opportunity today. I mean, I got an hour-long interview with Sir Gordon Greenidge.
Oh.
And it was probably in cricket. So Sir Gordon is back in Barbados, and I really want to say publicly thank you to Sir Gordon today and the team at Cricket Legends of Barbados for giving me that opportunity. It's a wide-ranging interview. He dealt with all the topics in his career. He offered advice to the young batsmen of today, how to go about building the innings. And we know this is the 40th anniversary of the White Watch in 1984. And we know what happened in 1984. He made 200 at Lord's and won a test match, chasing 340 on the last day with Larry Gomes. That done, I know, as an Englishman, that hurt. But it was the ultimate summer of cricket. The West Indies completely annihilated David Gower and his team. And then, obviously, to go went up to, I think it was Manchester a few months later, and make another double 100. He spoke candidly. He spoke brilliantly. The interview will be available on YouTube coming soon. So I just want to let you know that, Andrew, that Sir Gordon Greenidge is you know, having a good time. And it was the interview, I believe, in his career. So as I said, he offered me some of his time. I was delighted for that opportunity. A couple of weeks ago, I did a similar thing with Sir Vivian Richards, where he offered me an hour's time. We sat down and we spoke candidly about 1975 World Cup, 1979 World Cup. One thing that both of them tell you is that Curtis King is probably the best cricketer that is never considered a great.
Ooh.
I mean, to hear Sir Gordon Viv talk about Curtis King is so powerful. I mean, Viv spoke about what it was like when he was at the crease in 79 and Curtis strolled out. He said, I've never seen a man so confident come to the crease. And then Gordon, when he spoke about Curtis, he said, well, if you wanted a man for the job at that time, it was Curtis King. So, I mean, a lot of tributes to Curtis King, and obviously the great Clive Lloyd, Malcolm Marshall, Joe Garner, they just went on. And I'm really, I feel privileged that the opportunity was presented to me to speak to these great men about their lives and their careers. So it will be coming soon, Andrew. It will, you will be part of it. I can't not. Have a platform like Mason and Guest and introduce these interviews. But the eyes of these men is still alive and kicking. And these gentlemen just want people to know how they feel about the game and how much they still love and feel passionately about West Indies cricket. And for me, today was was absolutely brilliant. And a couple of weeks ago, it's a bit Richards, equally brilliant.
Oh, okay. Stay with us, Philip. Let's go quickly to Stephen Leslie as well. Stephen, you got coming up on the weekend, of course, the big 40 over finals. But, it's now been shifted to the region's Mecca. Could that not have been done in the first place with all the rain around in Barbados, Stephen? Can you tell me?
Hi, good night, Andrew. The previous game, as you said, was scheduled at Lairs, which was just a couple of days ago. It rained heavily. The question asked about whether it could have been at Kensington for the game, which was a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
There was a massive show, a reggae show that I don't think you might have been in St. Lucia then, that was held at Kensington Oval just on the eve of that game, which was on the Saturday. So it wouldn't have been possible with all the different elements of that show having been there on the Saturday to have the final on Sunday. But be that as it may, we had a washout, just 9 overs, I believe, was bowled. And we're going to return to the Mecca this Sunday. We've got Boscobel up against Pickwick. And Boscobel, Andrew, interestingly enough, have not lost a game in the ASU 40 over knockout since 2021.
Wow.
So listen to that. There's a defending champion. They haven't lost a game in ASU 40 over cricket in Barbados for a good part of 3 years. So they're going to be looking to have the opportunity to three-peat. The game starts at 11 a.m. in the morning, and Pickwick will be their challengers. And the beautiful thing, Andrew, we are going to have it live on CBC. We're going to have it radio with the Starcom network. And then we're also going to have streaming of this game. So, again, an opportunity. You want everyone to come down and to support these teams. Boscobel, rural part of Barbados, strong support system. We expect a very exciting game come Sunday.
Well, of course, I hope to get a pick. I wasn't here. I was in St. Lucia for the weekend. So I'm looking forward to, if you allow me to get a pick. Do I have to write to you, Stephen, and beg?
No, Andrew, as you know, you are the producer.
Just
so
kidding.
You're the man in charge.
All right. No. And Stephen, I'm glad you're here because the BCA, in relation to Lara, now we're going to talk about Lara, we're going to talk about Ricardo Elcock. The BCA found $3,000 to buy books from Lara, but they did not buy a single book from Ricardo Elcock. A little birdie told me that. Is that true, Ricardo? Dr. Ford told me that. Is that true?
Well, they didn't buy one from me. I don't know if they bought one, but they certainly didn't buy one from me. I could tell you that.
So Lara's book is $100 and yours is $50. And I'm told that the BCA didn't buy any books from you. Is that true? Can I ask the question again?
Andrew, the BCA did not buy any books from me personally, or I from anybody that I know. So I don't know if they did buy books from Amazon or somewhere like that, but they certainly did not buy any books from me.
Oh, and how do you feel about that, Ricardo?
Andrew, the BCA's business is the BCA's business. Mm-hmm. I asked them if I could put a tent down there. They told me I needed a doctor and a police and all kinds of things. I know if they did the same for Lara. But that's the BCA's entitled to do what the BCA has to do. I can't run the BCA business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 50 books. Presumably they could have got quite a few more of my books for $50, I'll tell you that.
Stephen, are you aware of this, though, that the BCA didn't buy any of Elcock's books? Are you aware of that, Stephen? You're the marketing communications man. Stephen, where are you?
I can tell you that both Ricky Elcock and I spoke just before he came to make his arrangements for his launch of his book. And similarly, there were entities who reached out to the BCA before Lara came. And I am not aware. I do know that there were some engagements with both Ricky. Ricky did not end up getting the arrangements that he needed. And similarly with Lara, Lara went a different route, which at the end of the day, there's a cricket West Indies match where both books were going to be launched during international matches. And the long and short of it is that FDBCA has purchased books for Lara. I'm not aware of what was purchased. I certainly wasn't told anything to say that they were purchased.
Mm-hmm.
But similarly, if Ricky can say on the program that never purchased from him, it is a situation where at the end of the day, those decisions were made, and I'm not aware of what arrangements were made.
Philip, you're pretty close to Brian Lara. Can you confirm that the BCA bought, they found $3,000 to buy books from Lara? You're very close to the action, Philip. Mr. Spooner, you must know. Philip?
Andrew, I have no knowledge. I have no knowledge.
It's not often that you come on Mason and Guest and you're so economical with your words. There's dead air. Spooner?
Is that a trick question? Is that a trick question?
No, there's dead air.
Because I have no knowledge.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, so Ricardo, you must be a little bit upset over this, I would imagine. I mean, I'm sure that Stephen Leslie tomorrow morning is going to speak to the CEO, Mr. Conde Riley, and Mr. Calvin Hope. You're Barbadian.
No, Andrew, I'm not upset because, you know, my mother used to tell me ages ago, right, that life is not fair.
Oh.
And that's the case. And I can't tell the BCA what to do.
Mm.
And I'm pleased that they bought some of Lara's books. I'm absolutely pleased because Lara, as an entity, deserves somebody to buy his books.
Mm.
I really do. Mm. I'm very pleased that they have done that.
Stephen, let me come back to you. I don't know if I heard you. Can you confirm that the BCA bought $3,000 in terms of Lara's books? Stephen, can you confirm that? Stephen?
No, I'm confirming that I have no knowledge of any purchase. I have no knowledge of any purchase of any books by the BCA because then no one has communicated it to me. So I wouldn't be able to say a yes or no to that.
Mm. Well, a birdie told me that the purchase was made, but I may be wrong. I'll have to get some further information on that. Philip, your reaction to all of this? They're treating Ricardo Elcock badly, in my view. He's a Bajan. Talk to me, Philo.
Well, Andrew, Ricardo Elcock is a former Barbados player.
Yes.
And he has a very good book. I have a copy. And, it's a good read. And if Ricardo Elcock has a book out, and the BCA should purchase books from Ricardo Elcock, I have to ask the question, did the BCA purchase Sylvain Sauer's book?
Mm.
Any copies?
Yeah. That's a very good question.
Mm.
Yeah. I would hope so, too.
This is the Cricket Association. I believe also the National Sports Council to purchase books as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, Andrew.
Yes.
I have offered to donate 30 books, right? I'm going to offer to donate 30 books to the Cultural Society of Barbados. I've already spoken to the Minister in Charge,
Mr.
Charles Griffith, and I'm going to do that. It's not, you know, outside of them anything to do with
it. Just sad, you know, how we view people, huh? And I said that the BCA short some guys, Andrew, on manners.
Oh.
I'm serious. I think sometimes they're short on manners and they need to understand what it means for a cricketer to write a book and a cricketer who's made contributions, not only to Barbados cricket,
right,
but cricket in England as well.
Yes.
I know we're seeing we're seeing the flow from Ricky Elcock. We're seeing Joffa Archer, Chris Jordan.
Right.
We're seeing Jacob Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing Chase Simmons. There are going to be more that come true from Barbados. And Ricky Elcock is a pioneer in that area. We had Roland Butcher before him.
Yes.
So there are a number of Barbadians who played cricket in England successfully. And Ricky and Roland are the others that represented England in the early days.
Right.
And if Ricky has written the book of just support the book, I spread the book around the schools.
Indeed, that's an excellent.
How many people will read it?
Mm.
In the school, we need to give them. We need to let people know that cricket is not only cricketer, but cricket is also an intellectual.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Ricky should be commended highly for donating his. And
yes,
who had two careers. Two career, one as a cricketer, one as a captain.
Right. That's right, too.
There's a bigger point, Andrew. Should cricket books and sports books not be in the curriculum? I mean, when you think about it, we are now 60 years post-independence history. And 60 years of history chronicled by cricketers, and even Usain Bolt has a book. Should this not be in the curriculum? Because 60 years of history is a long, long time. I mean, and these are things that children should be educated about. The life, the times, the struggles, the ups, the downs, the hardships, the triumphs of our sporting people. Obadeli Thompson, our only Olympic medalist. Usain Bolt, the greatest athlete of all time. His book should be in the school to teach the children how you reach this point. And for Ricky to donate his book.
Absolutely. What I will say, I've got a chapter in the back of the book. It's called Bias, Prejudice, and Racism.
Ooh.
And it's something that I would like the schools to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want it to be chronicled of what the kind of things that happen to us cricketers, black cricketers, starting in the 80s all the way to today. And I hope that people, Dr. Ford, have you read it?
Well, I have a copy of all three books, but I like to say categorically that that Andrew's thesis on the books didn't come from me. But what I would like to say is that I believe all three books to be successful. I don't think that 30 books here or there, whether bought or or distributed or otherwise, will affect success. And I wish all three authors all the best. And I think, you know, they are fish to fry rather than if someone bought 30 books or not, because we're talking bigger numbers for success. But, you know,
I agree. I support.
I support all cricketers. So all right. Best of luck, guys.
Well, thank you very much indeed. Time flies so very quickly when we're having fun. There's no question about that. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford, for making that clarification there. Leroy? Or is it Leroy?
Leroy.
Thank you. Of course, Ricardo Elcock, for coming through and talking to us. Thanks to you, Don Topley. You got to buy his book, Don. Thanks to you, Basil Butcher, for buying the book as well in advance. And, of course, Philip Spooner, who was very economically seated, didn't have any information. And Stephen Leslie, you got to tell us in a press release whether it is true or not that 3,000 books were bought by the BCA as far as Brian Lara is concerned. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a buy tomorrow. It's good night. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.